Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Cale Teeter, Evan Basilek, and Sujeet Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic, and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com.
Welcome back, guys. This is episode 34, Microsoft Azure Backup. And with me today, this is Cale Teeter. Sujeet DeMello is off this week. I think he's on vacation. Yeah. Usually he's making fun of Evan being on the beach, but I think he's on the beach this time. So yeah. I never get to go to the beach, but that's cool.
You need to change this around, Cale.
Yeah.
You really do.
So with me today, I have, two esteemed colleagues here, Evan Basilek, who's a regular here, and we have a guest speaker today, Will Effinger. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, Effinger, you got it.
Nice. So, guys, you just give a little background. I'm on here every week, so Cale Teeter, I'm an MCS app dev in the New York region. Work mostly with .NET Framework and Windows Azure type engagements.
Yeah, and this is Evan Basilek, and as Cale mentioned, I am a pretty regular guy here, except when Shadid's giving me a hard time for being on vacation. But I am a lead on the Windows on Azure team, focusing on supporting on Windows Azure IaaS. And like Cale said, we have the great pleasure of having one of my teammates here today to talk about Windows Azure Backup. Will, can you kind of give a little bit of some words about yourself?
Sure. So my name's Will Effinger. I've been with Microsoft for about 10 years. I work on the Windows on Azure team, and I specialize in disks and backup scenarios.
And you know Cluster too, right, before you moved to Azure, right?
I might have been involved in a little bit of Cluster.
Yeah, you're just waiting with bated breath for the day that we can do clusters in Azure, and we can throw you right back into that little world.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited, as I'm sure our product group is as well.
some of the topics we wanted to cover here today, like one of the big things was about Windows Azure Backup, and maybe we could just start off with a brief understanding of what the heck this is. Like, and why would we want to use Windows Azure Backup?
Sure. So Windows Azure Backup is a tool that allows, it first can plug into System Center Essentials, or Microsoft Server Essentials, excuse me. It also can plug into DPM, and it's a standalone client. And it can back up flat files,
That's okay.
What in the world is happening?
Yeah, that's stuff on our message here.
Okay. That was
like
my phone.
I did, crazy.
Yeah, okay. All right, let me mute that. Sorry, guys. All right.
That's okay. We're not the most polished of podcast recorders. Let's just put it that way.
All right, let me start over. So Windows Azure Backup, why would you use it? Windows Azure Backup is a plugin for Server Essentials. It can also plug into Data Protection Manager and a standalone client. It is really good for backing up flat files either on-premise or in the cloud to your blob storage in the cloud. So what do I mean by flat files? Flat files are files that do not need a VSS writer. So what Windows Azure Backup is not a replacement for system state backups. What it can do really well is back up your flat files where no writer is quiesced. So do you guys know a little bit about what VSS is, or should I delve just
give a 100 or 200 level on that, because I've picked up a little bit from you, but I'm certain that most of our audience probably doesn't have a great understanding of it.
Okay. So VSS, or Volume Shadow Copy Services, is our open file manager. And we have it's basically a service, and it talks to the writers, and an application will have its own writer. Like I'll pick on SQL for an example. And the application will prepare its it's log files, it's database, whatever, for a backup. When we do, that's when we're doing a writer backup. When we do a no writer backup, the data is snapshotted as it is in flight. So that's a no writer backup would be, we would consider that a non-crash consistent backup. It is the data as it was laid down at that particular second. So what Windows Azure Backup is not is, it is not a replacement for system state. And I know I've said that twice now, but, that is our most common call driver. It's people trying to use Windows Azure Backup as their primary backup method. What it is really great for are certain files, mission-critical files that we want to replicate to the cloud that are then geo-replicated through our cloud services.
So, Will, question. So just to make sure that I'm following, when you say system state, you're saying something that I could turn around and restore, and I have basically a snapshot of my entire OS and VM. Where it was when I took that backup.
That's right. Right.
Okay.
So when I talk about system state, I'm talking about the system state of Windows. So it's the registry, the OS boot files, et cetera. Windows Azure Backup is really for a targeted folder that is mission critical files.
So now when you plug this into DPM, do you gain some of these system state capabilities, or
DPM
that...
allows you to replicate files to the cloud. It allows you to replicate VMs to the cloud, but it's really using DPM's engine to take the snapshot and then replicate its data to the cloud. It's basically offloading the data to cloud storage. Essentially.
But DPM's doing all the actual system state work.
DPM's doing all of the heavy lifting. We're just moving the files around for them.
Okay.
So Will, I have a question. I guess we could get into what scenarios this kind of works best for, but I'm thinking, like you're saying, basically like flat files or some important data files that we have. So if I have infrastructure as a service, virtual machine running in Azure, I can leverage this to do a backup of maybe, let's say I have some important files on there, some business critical things. Do I have to put some sort of an agent or anything on our operating system to even make this work, or how does that communication work?
Yeah, so Windows Azure Backup is a client and blob storage configuration, so the client actually does all of the replication for you. So when you install the Windows Azure Backup, you set up a communication portal using Azure, and then you basically have to build your own certificate so that everything's encrypted, and the data is then transferred from client to server.
Okay, so it's using the same stuff that we use for like the service management API, like a certificate-based authentication?
That's correct.
Cool.
So this actually, and speaking of that piece, I think I know the answer to this, but I just want to confirm it. So, you know, we run into this a lot from an authentication perspective in Azure. People have lost their domain credential. I'm sorry, they've lost their local admin credentials, and the answer is always we can't recover it. How does that work with Windows Azure Backup? Is it a similar scenario?
Yeah, so it's a lock and key scenario. We basically build a lock and then give you the pass key. If you've lost that or lost your passphrase, we don't store that anywhere. That's up to the administrator. For me personally, what I do is I have my WAB client installed on my home machine, and I'm replicating data to the cloud, and then I keep my passphrases and my certificates in SkyDrive. So I've got two offsite backups to two cloud applications.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, that way you don't ever have to worry about losing those. Because I know if it's anything like some other things, reporting services has a similar concept, and we've actually had people that had their encryption keys or their decryption. Really, not necessarily the encryption keys, but what they need to get into those encryption keys, actually the file with that stuff on the server where reporting services was running. So when they lose the server, they also lose their keys.
Yeah, it's a really good idea to, when you're building any type of certificate, that you build them on a tertiary server so that you don't leave yourself open to issues. So I usually build everything on a tertiary server, and we actually you don't have to buy a certificate. You can use MakeCert for building the certificate files that you'll need for Windows Azure Backup, and it's prolific across the Azure environment.
So I had a couple other questions. So you mentioned that it's using blob storage as the back-end store, basically, for where we're going to place these backups. Are you able to pick, like, the storage account and that kind of thing, so you can target these things to specific regions and things like that?
So it actually sits on top of blob storage, and we call it a vault. And vault allows you, when you build a vault, you can pick the region that you want to.
Oh, nice. So you can localize it to where your VMs potentially may be.
Or better yet, you localize it to where your VMs are not, right? Because if your VMs are in east, you probably want to in west.
Well, that's a good idea, actually. And actually, because that's traffic between data centers, that doesn't count against you or for you. Now, are the storage accounts for this stuff, you know, so backing a vault is the storage account. Is this my storage account, or is this a service provided storage account? You know, like, can I go like look at my files with you know, Cloud Explorer or some of the other tools can look into blob storage?
No, it's all locked down. So it's a service account that we give you that your credentials don't have access to.
So it's owned by the service then, in that context, more so than owned by me.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and one other security question. So basically just trying to understand, a lot of my customers are worried about what's encrypted, what's not encrypted, these types of things. So data in transit as it's going to this storage, being backed up, as well as at rest when it's up there, is it encrypted or?
Yes, it is encrypted.
Okay. And it's who owns the, I guess your passphrase or whatever is the key then, right? And so
right.
The customer is the only one with the key. So Microsoft doesn't have a backdoor.
Right. So we actually, it's a certificate, a PFX file, and then a passphrase. So you actually have, the two layers of security there. And Microsoft does not have a backdoor. And it's really unfortunate when someone loses their passphrase, because there's nothing that we can do about it. So keep those printed out somewhere. Those are those are the keys to the kingdom, if you will.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I like the OneDrive idea. Actually, truth be told, I do that for my you know, we have to all of our machines have to be BitLockered right these days, and you know, I actually have had at one point had a machine that had a bad hard drive controller, and it kept killing drives. And sometimes I could run a Windows Restore, recovery, and it would occasionally recover it. But man, it always wanted my key. So I started putting them in OneDrive so I could go look at it on my phone on one side and go see it on the other. Cause there's nothing like your primary laptop going down and you're going, if I could just turn the laptop on, I could get my encryption key so I could turn the laptop on. You know, so yeah, I like that idea. You know, the backup sounds pretty straightforward. I mean, I assume there's a, you know, a schedule it runs on and does it do incremental? Does it do full? What's the echo mechanism for the backup?
So the cadence is one full. So you're going to have a one time large transfer and then incrementals on top of that.
And how big can I back up?
Right now the limitation is 850 gigabytes. We're working to increase that, but right now it's 850 gigabytes.
And that's total, not per file.
That's right. It's okay. It's total, and the retention range on this is 30 days.
How does that – so not being a storage guy historically, you've actually taught me a lot in the last few months, but I don't have some of the background. How does that compare to on-premises? I mean, is that similar or is it really different?
So on-premise, with with DPM, I believe can do, well, DPM can back up indefinitely. So you can have, gosh, 5 years or, what's that, government regulation for publicly traded companies?
Yeah, some of them are 5 and some of them are 7 actually.
5, 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is smaller than that. You know, WAB is really targeted at the, small to medium business. And we have the plugin into the Server Essentials, 2012 Server Essentials has been, a really good, marketplace for us.
Server Essentials. I so missed my home server. I was such a fan of that product. I'm not nearly as enamored of the Server Essentials flavor of it. But
you actually have to do admin work. You don't like that?
Yeah, I know. It. You know. Yeah, this cloud guy. Can you imagine the cloud guy doesn't like admin work? You know. I mean, yeah.
One question with the capacity. You mentioned the capacity limits. How's this thing charged? Like, how do I pay for this? How do I get charged for this? It sounds like there's data transfer I'm about to pay for, but is there any other additional charge?
No, just the charge for using the service.
Nice.
Yeah, because remember, Kale, ingress is free.
Yep.
Right. So I guess there's probably some small percentage of egress, right, because we're probably doing some it is back and forth traffic as we do the backup. It's got to be pretty trivial.
Yeah, it's CRC checksummed errors or checksum back. So we're basically just saying, hey, this file at this length. So it's minute, really.
Right, right. And then what do you know offhand? And if you don't, we can look it up and we'll put it in the links. But do you know offhand what the monthly charge is for the vault? Is it based on the size you're storing? Or is it just a flat rate?
I believe it's just a flat rate, but I have the luxury of being the guy who fixes the problems and not paying for it. So,
okay, we'll pull that at the end of the, we'll drop that in as a link in the podcast for you guys so you have it. Because, you know, it is Azure, so everything does have a cost, but again, you only pay for it if you use it. I did want to loop back around, you know, Will, to your comment about this is kind of more targeted at SMBs and mid-sized stuff, but, you know, and Kale, we've talked about this before, right? Azure is fundamentally different in some ways because it does definitely target some of what we would traditionally call our enterprise customers. But a lot of them, right, they're still kind of looking at the cloud and poking at it, and they're doing some really interesting things with it, but they're not throwing servers in there, you know, left and right. The small to medium business sector, though, is we really see a lot more of them in this space because think about the hassle it is to buy a server, configure a server, set it up, have a network for your server to be in, and then, you know, actually do something on it. Well, you've done all that work just before you can even, like, do whatever you want to do with the server. In Azure, we make it so much simpler that you can, you know, go in the portal, create a server, and there's your server.
Yeah, right? our large enterprise customers are really interested in the hybrid cloud model, while our smaller to medium business are, you know, really jumping in feet first with the full cloud model.
Yep. No, definitely.
Yeah. One question on the back to security again. I've just been working with a lot of customers who are super, super paranoid.
These MCS guys, yeah. Security, you know, I mean, come on.
It's like, yeah, it's just running over the internet, whatever.
Hey, you guys are really testing my knowledge of certificates.
No, I was wondering, I can hear this question coming. This is why I'm asking it. So if I have a on-premises service or server, that's running, and I want to leverage this backup solution. Can I force the traffic to go over the VPN tunnel, or does it always have to go over a public interface?
It always connects over port 443 or 80. I would imagine you could force it.
I actually don't think you can.
Oh, okay.
Today, yeah, because the VPN. If you think about it from a routing perspective, on premises, right, you would need to add like a default route, Kale, like we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
But then if you do that, it's going to hit the gateway, and the gateway is not going to route it anywhere.
Yeah. I didn't know if there's
Now I will say that if you look at our ExpressRoute offering, right, our ExpressRoute offering does. It's not there yet, but one of the things that we're working on over there is the ability to access some of the non VM features via ExpressRoute.
Nice.
Right. So that really goes after that kind of security scenario you're talking about, which is someone says, hey, I don't want any of my stuff going out across non-public ports. Or I'm sorry, I don't want it going out in non-private connections. Right. And ExpressRoute will definitely solve that scenario in the near future. I don't know the exact timeline, but I know that's something we're working on.
I can pile on to that with WAB that we deal with proxies just fine. So we can deal with a proxy server. But if that helps.
Nice.
Okay. So this actually, I'll be honest, this actually sounds like something that if I wasn't so heavily invested in like OneDrive for almost all of my personal storage. I still have some movies and some pictures that I haven't moved from my storage spaces, Windows 8 machine at home. But, you know, this is really like the backup that when I had my home server, I used to do, there was a plugin from, I can't remember the company off the top of my head, but they would back up to Windows Azure Blob Storage my home server files. It really feels like WAB would go after this, and if I wasn't so invested in OneDrive, I probably would be using WAB myself.
I see WAB and SkyDrive for Business as a a hand-in-hand partnership for your mid-grade enterprise.
So I guess probably the OneDrive for Business is probably the individual person's files, and then I would guess that maybe WAB is going to be for the files that would be sitting on a shared server somewhere.
Sure.
Okay, that makes sense. So go ahead, Kale.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask, I mean, how does the restore actually work? I mean, is it pick a file and I can say restore it, or do I have to restore, everything that I backed up? I mean, how does that actually work? I actually haven't done that myself, to be honest.
So basically, if you're backing up a file, or a set of files, you can restore from, that particular moment in time. It gives you an Explorer window, and you dive in once you want to restore.
And does it restore on top of my existing file, or do I have the option to put it somewhere else?
You have the option to restore on top or put it somewhere else.
Okay, cool.
So just like a classic restore, a lot of the engine that's driving this is Windows Server Backup. So if you are comfortable with how Windows Server Backup works, you'll be comfortable with Windows Azure Backup.
Okay. Great. So obviously without disclosing anything that, you can't, all the super secret stuff about WAB that you can't tell us, where do you think this is going to go? I mean, do you see some, what are the things that when you talk to this product group that they talk about, hey, are really important to them and they want to do? They don't know when they're going to do it, obviously, but what are the things that they're talking about are important to them? Or what are you hearing from the customer base that you think is going to be things that will be on the radar for this?
I honestly see this as the future of our enterprise backup. I could see this product either tightly integrating or eating DPM and becoming a larger system center suite. For the enterprise business. So, I'm hopeful that, our VSS, integration, begins to invoke writers. And then from there the enterprise just explodes. But that, I think that's, I might be a slightly jaded because I'm putting a lot of time into this, but I've seen a lot of super passionate people with the product group, and I'm excited where this product's heading.
Yeah, so if it had VSS, that would open it up to a huge area. It's not.
Well, it has VSS. Right? It just doesn't have the writers. So a no writer snapshot. We're still doing a snapshot, which is, but it's just not a writer snapshot. I see us increasing soon.
And if we had that, we would get like SQL, we'd get Exchange, we'd get
System State,
those kind of things.
Yeah, basically, once we get the writers, then we unlock the enterprise.
Okay. Yeah, I'm also wondering too, and I'm not a backup extraordinaire by any stretch of the imagination. I don't they don't let me near infrastructure most of the time. But the one project I was working on, and this is common with a lot of customers too, is these enterprise, you use the word vault, but these enterprise vaults for things like email, well, like if they're not using O365, obviously, if they have their own on-premises email solution or even Link or OCS or some of the older variants of those, all that stuff is archived and stored in a vault. I don't know. Is it possible to leverage this with those solutions yet or in the future potentially? I don't know.
I don't know the long-term roadmaps. They usually tell me something's going to happen when it drops. So
yeah, if we're lucky, sometimes we find out after it's already shipped and the customer calls us.
But I've been doing backup for a good 8 years, and I came over to Windows on Azure because of this particular product. If that, I have confidence in it, if that helps.
Nice.
That's all the questions I have. I mean, Kale, you have any other ones?
No, this is good. I learned a lot. Thanks for coming on, Will. I mean, I learned a lot more than I knew about Windows Azure Backup. And is the name changed, by the way? We're still going through this transition. Now it's going to be Microsoft Azure Backup instead of Windows Azure.
That's a good question.
You know what? The next dev call, I'll ask, but they haven't told me yet. So,
yeah.
My t-shirts haven't changed, so I assume not.
Yeah, I it's funny you asked that, Kel, because Will and I actually, we just moved. You know, the team's pretty new. I guess we're what, like 5 months now, Will, something like that. And we just recently, because we are a big corporate bureaucracy, right? We finally said, okay, everybody's going to move, right? So we moved everybody near each other. But even before then, and I mean, Will, we probably talk about WAB every day. And it never occurred to me that its name is now out of date. We definitely probably need to push them on that. So. Why are you using this out of date product?
Yeah, I need a new pullover. That's all.
Those are going to start throwing things at you. Just be quiet. Keep it running. All right.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Well, great. Well, thank you very much for coming. I mean, I like Kale said. I mean, this is great. I actually picked up a couple of things, and I have worked my share of cases on this. So it's always a good thing to do. Hopefully in the future we can have you back for some. See, this is the fun part, Kale, about my relationship with Will. I'll find some other technologies you can be the lead for, and then I can invite you to the podcast.
Oh, you and the delegation, honestly.
It is fun.
All right, okay. Guys. Well, thanks so much. I look forward to speaking to you guys about disks and eventually cluster.
Yes, awesome. Sounds great. And we will, like we were talking about earlier, we've got some links. Actually, Kale, you want to run through the links we have? Or?
Yeah, we just had two this time, and actually they were from last week. We had a little break there last week. But so two things that are pretty big. The first is running SAP on Azure. So that's out there now. I actually thought that at GA before. Me and Evan were talking about that earlier. But it's officially out there now. You can go out and look at the different configurations. You can set that up because that can be set up in a bunch of different ways. So that's the first thing, and we'll put a link in there to that. And the second thing was the Brazil South region has GA now, the data center in Brazil. So kind of coincides with the old World Cup going on, but that's all right.
Yeah, that was very intentional, right? We wanted us down there to service that.
Well, I think we should have launched a little before then, but okay.
I did find the link on the, although they call it Azure Backup on their page. Maybe they did change the name and we just didn't realize it. I found the link to the pricing stuff, so I'll put that in the links as well.
It'll always be WAB to me.
Yeah, you can always tell someone how long somebody has been supporting a technology by which code name they refer to it as when they slip, right? So, okay. Well, great. Well, Kale, thanks again for having me. It was great to talk to you. And, Will, we'll definitely have you back in the future.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for joining, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.